is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Okay, Rob Gronkowski owners, let's have a good cry about it. Adam, Dave, and Jamie on this Friday, December 2nd. Welcome to the show. Dallas and Minnesota are in the books, and we are ready for the rest of Week 13. Yeah! I'm gonna be happy. I'm going to be excited because, you know, it's a bummer when one of the best players in fantasy gets hurt. What's going on, guys?
Especially this late in the year. This one doesn't feel as bad as previous years, though, for some reason.
How many teams do you have?
Four.
Gronk on.
Really? Yeah. One I'm out. So
maybe that's why it doesn't feel as
No, it just I think it's because we've been without him for 2 weeks essentially, and we were without him at the beginning of the season. So you've kind of had to manage through this already.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you haven't had the scenario already on your plate.
When you had Gronk and he got hurt, you picked up a backup.
Mm-hmm.
When he came back, did you dump the backup?
Or it's funny you mention that because in one league, I'm going to get ruined in this league because I drafted AJ Green and Gronkowski in my first two picks.
Uh-huh.
PPR league. I'm 10-2. I had picked up Martellus. Somebody dropped Martellus and I've been just playing the Patriots. Well, I dropped Martellus Bennett on Tuesday to pick up Vance McDonald.
Okay.
So now I'm stuck with McDonald and I just dropped Gronk, and it's a league that locks waivers until once you drop a guy on Tuesday, you can't pick him up till the following week.
Okay. But at least you've got Vance McDonald.
Yeah, but
we like this week.
Yeah, but
yeah, I wish I would have dropped Gronk.
I think you'll tread water with him and then
but that's what I'm saying. It's like it doesn't feel
because you've been carrying the second tight end. I know a lot of people who had Gronk and when he came back, they cut the other tight end. They used the backup.
But you had to pick somebody else up.
Yeah, but then even last week he was back. He was active. So people said, all right, bon voyage to, you know, CJ Fedorowicz or whoever, and you've got Rob Gronkowski on your team, and now you've got to go streaming the rest of the way.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting, though, is I made a play. I picked up Martellus Bennett in two leagues. Jamie regrets not dropping Gronkowski instead of Bennett. And it's like, I want Bennett. If he was available, I'd like to pick him up, but he's been awful. He's been awful without Gronkowski, so why should I, you know, be even a little bit excited about Martellus Bennett? How do you guys feel about Bennett?
I'm not a huge fan of him. I feel like I've got to see it from him first. There's too much of a history of him trailing off late into the season and recent history of him not playing well.
I think when he's healthy, he'll be okay. I don't think he's been healthy recently.
How do you feel about Malcolm Mitchell?
I said it on Tuesday. You know, this was a guy that we've seen when Gronk has been out or limited over the last 2 weeks. Playing time has gone up. They'll use more three receiver sets than they're more used to seeing. And so he's got an opportunity now. He's still a rookie receiver. You got to understand he's not going to be a must-start guy for your fantasy team. But in a three-receiver league, he could certainly be a starter for you and be a starter for you this week. You know, next week's going to be a little bit different because Baltimore's tough. But we'll see what happens going out of this week. He's certainly somebody you should go around and pick up just to see what's going to happen moving forward because the last 2 weeks have been pretty nice.
Would you guys start Malcolm Mitchell or Jarvis Landry this week?
Mitchell.
I would roll the dice on Mitchell.
DeAndre Hopkins or Malcolm Mitchell?
Hopkins.
I believe I have Hopkins higher.
Yeah, you do. And we'll talk about that Houston-Green Bay game. I think it's an interesting week, these NFC home games. We have a couple of AFCs to talk about from yesterday that we didn't get to. I mean, we covered most of the Rams and the Patriots, but not everything. Philadelphia at Cincinnati with the Eagles being such a bad road defense. Maybe there are some Bengals that you could consider, but I'll ask you about that, and then we'll get into the six NFC home games, which are awesome. I mean, Detroit-New Orleans, you sit here and say this could be a huge B-word for fantasy owners, but you gotta look at New Orleans defense and how much better they've been playing. Not great, but much better lately. And even the Lions too. Is that competition or is that defense is getting better? Carolina at Seattle. Washington at Arizona is fascinating, guys. In fact, there are three quarterbacks that we haven't talked about much, that really fascinate me. Kirk Cousins at Arizona. When you look at Cousins, 28 or more fantasy points in 3 of 4 games and the best game all year against Minnesota with 22 fantasy points. Stafford at New Orleans, and you think maybe he could go off, have a huge game, but I think only one quarterback has scored more than 25 points in 6-point per touchdown leagues against the Saints, and that was Kaepernick who had rushing, Cam Newton who had a rushing touchdown, and then Russell Wilson against Carolina who was a little lower in the rankings than I anticipated. How would you rank those three, Cousins, Stafford, and Wilson?
I've got Cousins, Wilson, Stafford.
Stafford, Wilson, Cousins.
You're really going crazy for Stafford here.
I think he's going to be 25 plus points.
I wish I'd seen it once or twice within the last 2 months to see that he can actually do that.
Five games ago?
It feels like it was like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Well, if he gets 25 or more, he'd be the only quarterback to do that without rushing totals. I'm assuming he's going to get like maybe one.
Against New Orleans.
Yeah, against New Orleans. Sorry. One rushing point. And they've gotten Sheldon Rankins back. It's really helped their run defense. They've gotten Zanelle Ellerby back. They've gotten Delvin Bro back. And just been kind of interesting. They're not a bad matchup. Almost everybody gets like 22 fantasy points against the Saints. But
well, that's been that way over the course of the season. But you mentioned getting Rankins and Bro back. And their safeties have played well for the most part of the year. Their last five games, they've had some easy matchups in there. But only two quarterbacks have been over 20 fantasy points. They did a nice job against Cam Newton 2 weeks ago. They did a nice job against Russell Wilson 5 weeks ago. I think there's a little bit of risk in Stafford.
In Stafford's last four games, two against Minnesota, which is obviously a very good defense. Mm-hmm. One against Jacksonville. Good defense, not great defense. Right. He didn't play very well in that game.
So and far, against, defenses that are better than New Orleans.
And against Houston.
Another defense.
And the Houston, one of the Minnesota games in Houston was on the road. So he hasn't exactly faced an easy schedule over that stretch. I just see them chasing points. I think New Orleans is going to score on them. I think Stafford's going to be in a situation where he throws. He had success with Jim Bob Cooter as offense coordinator last year in New Orleans against a Dennis Allen-led defense, I believe.
Yeah. His last two against New Orleans have been very good.
Yeah, and it wasn't Calvin Johnson last year. It was Golden Tate scored mm-hmm. two touchdowns. So yeah. I think there's an opportunity here for Stafford to have one of his better games. Scenario is just sets up for him to play well. So maybe he doesn't get to 25. He's going to be in that 20 to 24 range. I think he's a top 10 guy.
Okay, so more on that game later. Another interesting aspect of that game is one of the reasons the Saints don't give up a ton of fantasy points to quarterbacks is because they give up so many rushing touchdowns, not passing touchdowns. And the Lions, of course, come into the game with four rushing touchdowns. So that'll be a fun one. We'll see what happens. I don't want to pivot away from Gronkowski too early here. I want to give Gronkowski owners some options just in case. I'm going to name tight ends that are available starting in 39% of leagues to much more, and you tell me who you want. Hunter Henry.
I like his situation. I mean, if Tyrell Williams is going to miss time, there's an opportunity here for him. So if you're stuck, you know, he scored in two straight games. Hopefully the playing time will start to increase. Hopefully the targets will start to increase. And then I think you'll start to see some good production because he's got a ton of upside.
Gary Barnidge, Dennis Pitta, Jared Cook, Jack Doyle, Ladarius Green, Dwayne Allen, Charles Clay, Jesse James.
Right, you can stop. Ladarius Green's the only one that interests me.
What about Hoopa?
Everybody else you won't feel good about starting no matter who they play.
Hoopa?
Not even Hoopa.
What about A.J. Derby?
Not even A.J. Derby.
Okay, you know, they seem to like him deeply.
No. Ladarius Green's the only one.
Okay.
There's upside there.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't say Will Ty. I don't know. Maybe he can fall in the end zone.
Congratulations, you've just listed a dozen tight ends that nobody is going to want to start.
Okay. what am I looking
at? Yeah,
but here?
One and a half are two different things.
I must have missed some names because I toggled the wrong thing. Let me just see if there's C.J. Fedorowicz, Vernon Davis, Julius Thomas, Vance McDonald. Yeah, those are better names. I forgot to look at all players. I was just looking at free agents in a league. I wasn't looking at all the players.
Yeah, Julius Thomas I'm not really into, but the other three, there's a semblance of hope there. They're involved in their offenses. They have a chance to score a touchdown. They're more appealing than the junk you named Les Ladarius Green.
So I need one this week. Hunter Henry, C.J. Fedorowicz, Vance McDonald, Lance Kendricks.
McDonald.
E-I-E-I-Yo.
All right, and finally, Tom Brady says he's feeling a lot better. He's been fine in two games without Gronk, one great game, one okay game for him. Without knowing schedules off the top of your head, I can tell you the Patriots have the Rams, Ravens, at Denver, Jets, and at Miami in Week 17. How many quarterbacks do you think you'd rather have over Tom Brady? Is he still clearly a top five must start every week quarterback without Gronk?
No. Next week's going to be a tough one.
Yep.
against Baltimore.
Yeah, losing Gronk is going to be bad for him. We've seen it before. The Patriots can win games without Gronk, but Brady doesn't always put up huge numbers.
Jamie,
and I think next week will be tough.
Next week against Baltimore is going to be tough?
I think so. I think the Ravens defense is really good, and I think they'll be primed to try and beat them even though they're in New England. And then at Denver, the week after that's going to be tough.
Oh, yeah.
And the Jets always play them hard. That's week 16. And then who knows if he'll even play in week 17.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well,
it depends.
Dolphins are two games behind him. And that could be for the division, potentially.
Potentially. Or it could be the Patriots have run away with the AFC by then.
Hey, we got to get going here. So, Mark Ingram did not practice due to a toe injury. Dun, dun, dun. What do you think, guys?
What was that?
He said
done,
he's done?
Done for.
That's just an ominous tone.
I think he just said he's done.
I can't believe you're ruling him out for the rest of the season like that. He just missed a practice.
That's breaking news.
Sorry. Well, look, you know what? The two leagues I have Ingram in, I also have Hightower.
I'm tweeting it out right now. According to source with Harry Arms, Mark Ingram out for the season. Tweet.
Okay, he's not out for the season. Is he going to be out for week 13?
If he doesn't practice on Friday, sure. There's a pretty decent chance of that.
Okay. We will talk about those running backs in a bit. And Jordan Reed is likely out this week. One of the reasons why we haven't been telling you to pick up Vernon Davis for this week is that Arizona allows the fewest fantasy points to tight ends. No tight end has scored more than 5 fantasy points. And then at Philadelphia, they allow the 3rd fewest fantasy points to tight end. That's the next matchup for Vernon Davis, assuming Jordan Reed is out. So it makes him less appealing.
Vernon will have more than 5 fantasy points this week.
You think
he might not have more than 7, but he'll have 5.
Well, let's go to the game from last night. Dallas 17 and Minnesota 15. I had a good time watching this game. I thought it was enjoyable. Low scoring, a little sloppy, but good game. And Harrison Smith was on crutches after the game. He had been playing through an ankle injury for a few weeks, so that hurts. But I guess my big takeaway here is I'm a little embarrassed about my Dez Bryant hate. 4 for 84 and a touchdown on 6 targets, and he had a big game.
He could have had 2, and he also could have had 0. If you think about the circumstance that set up the touchdown that he actually did score, the muff punt puts Dallas in business, 1st and goal from the 8. It's a screen pass to Dez. He makes a move on Xavier Rhodes. Rhodes will make that tackle 9 times out of 10. He didn't that time. And Dez scored.
Anything to take away from this game? I mean, Adam Thielen had a nice game. Jerick McKinnon had his best game in a while, maybe all year. Probably not all year, but maybe 2nd best. Anything, guys? The Cowboys are at the Giants next week, and the Vikings are at Jacksonville.
I was disappointed in both Rudolph and Diggs. I expected Diggs to have Rudolph's targets, and Rudolph having 12 targets, I would expect a lot more than 6 or 45.
But this is what the Vikings are. It's dink and dunk and dink and dunk, and if they don't score touchdowns.
They tried to get some deep passes going last night. They just couldn't connect. Charles Johnson had one go off his hand.
That's because Sam Bradford stinks.
Yeah, and his line is just bad.
But since Shermer's taken over, he's doing 3-step drops. They're not going to have a lot of chances to throw the ball down the field because they want the ball out of his hand because they're afraid he's going to take hits.
And he took a big hit to the ribs during the game. He left for a couple plays.
Right.
It's a rough situation to be in, and I don't know how people are going to feel about starting Stephon Diggs next week after getting
very good
targets.
PPR. Catching. He's very good in PPR.
That's fair. But in a standard league against Jacksonville, I don't know if I'm going to love him.
He is become what Jarvis Landry was last year.
What Julian Edelman is this year, but maybe even to a lesser degree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Adam Thielen, any interest? 19% owned.
I mean, deeper leagues. Sure.
Okay.
But I think he's a little.
I don't think anybody's starting him in a 10 or 12 team league anytime soon.
Yeah.
There are some receivers that might be on your bench that you're tired of looking at, and you could make a change to Thielen if you wanted to.
This had low scoring written all over it, so it's not a huge surprise. And Dak Prescott only started in 51% of leagues, and he played pretty well, but he only threw 18 passes and scored 12 fantasy points. And if Dez falls into the end zone there instead of the Zeke touchdown, it's 18 fantasy points. But those of you who sat Dak, you were smart this week, 12 fantasy points. I have something very exciting to tell you about. Are you sitting down?
Yes.
Okay, stand up.
All right, I'm up.
Okay.
For the record, Jamie is still sitting.
I didn't want to knock you out of your chair. starting this Sunday.
Don't get up. I know you're injured right now. You've got the pinky.
I'm good.
Please just relax.
Thanks.
Okay, starting this Sunday, guys, NFL on CBS games will be available on CBS All Access. You will be able to stream live local market games on your computer, tablet, or connected device. Go to cbssports.com/NFL to try it for free for 1 week. That's really cool.
So you can watch the NFL on CBS for free with an app.
Yes.
That's all you have to do is download the app and you can watch the game.
I don't know if it's an app. cbssports.com/NFL. It's probably an app. I'm not 100%
sure.
Well,
CBS All Access is our award-winning app where you can watch anything CBS.
Okay, then yes.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty cool. I'm glad I stood up for that.
Yeah.
Jamie,
right?
Show a little respect. Stand up.
All
for the record, for any certain executives of CBS listening, Jamie did not stand up for that big announcement.
So I want to bring up something that we keep getting here. I got a number of questions. Can I throw my? I've already made the playoffs. Can I intentionally lose this week to either keep another team out of the playoffs or change my seed so I play a more favorable matchup? Can I intentionally tie this week? I've gotten something like that. How do you guys feel about that?
Heath and I touched on this earlier in the week where there was a fantasy commissioner who was upset because two owners who had playoff spots locked up were going to conspire against the rest of the league and set illegal lineups and tie so that they would keep their playoff spots. Hmm. And I definitely think that that's not right, but it's not out of the rules. Like if there aren't rules to prevent it, then I don't know if they're breaking them.
I don't know.
I don't like that it's happening, but you can't say, well, you're breaking the rules. Well, it's unfair. You might say it's unethical.
That's pretty specific. But Jamie, a team intentionally loses a week for his or her benefit, whether it's playoff seeding or keeping somebody in or out. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think that's pretty dirty and underhanded.
Yeah.
Like, you should be in this with your friends. Like, just win straight up.
Yeah, I agree.
But if you know that losing somehow benefits you, and the name of the game, I don't want to lose. I don't like losing.
I can't purposely lose in anything. It's just against my nature. So I'm not going to try and lose to keep somebody else out with the hope that I don't face them down the road. Because I mean, karma like that comes back to bite you.
All right. What if you were the commissioner and somebody in your league did it?
I mean, I'm in one league where I was invited through somebody else and I'm like the outsider. Mm-hmm. Obviously everybody knows what I do. So that, you know, that there's a lot of want to beat me in this league.
Yeah.
and I need to win to get in. And I keep looking to see if, this is happening. You know, if somebody's setting a lineup that's already in the playoffs to keep me out. So I keep an eye on it. As a commissioner, I probably would, you know, be like, hey man, come on, set your lineup. You know, and I encourage the leagues, and I'm a commissioner, and if I see that happening, like, hey, you know, you got this guy in your lineup, he hasn't played in 2 weeks, if somebody's kind of checked out, you know, go set your lineup just to be, you know, cautious about it. I mean, Adam, we had this scenario a couple weeks ago, you know, you brought it up, you know, it wasn't something I was paying attention to, and you made mention of it, and I poked the owner, you know, hey,
right,
go set your lineup.
I don't think there's a problem with a commissioner doing that and reaching out to an owner who hasn't set his lineup in a few weeks or whatever and saying, yeah, hey, look, these are important games. Just do your part to be in the league. And if a guy does it, that's fine. And if he doesn't do it, then I don't know if he should belong in the league.
All right. It's kind of weak. That's the bottom line. Now let's talk a little football here. Jay Cutler's going to miss the rest of the season. Aaron Rodgers was limited in practice. We still expect him to be full go, top quarterback, number two, I think, quarterback this week behind Breeze. I don't know, something like that. Tyrell Williams missed practice, so it's up in the air right now. And we just don't know. T.Y. Hilton missed practice. Do you think he plays on Monday at the Jets?
Yes.
And Trevor Siemian did not practice, so it's, you know, if it's Paxton Lynch, where are you going to rank Demaryius Thomas and where are you going to rank Emmanuel Sanders?
I would be very nervous to start either one of them. And I might be nervous even if Trevor Siemian plays with a bad foot. I think you might see a very conservative Denver offense.
Is that going to put Malcolm Mitchell and Tyreek Hill and all the waiver wire, Quincy Enunwa, all those types of guys ahead of Demaryius Thomas?
No, not for me. Maybe Hill if Macklin's out, but that's about it.
I've already got Mitchell ahead of Emmanuel Sanders. I've got Hill ahead of Emmanuel Sanders, too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Check the rankings. Watch Fantasy Football Today on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern on CBSSports.com and listen to our Saturday night radio show, Eye on Fantasy Football, on CBS Sports Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Awesome show. I think we took 30 phone calls in the last segment alone. It was a lot of fun last week. So do you expect the following players? Dave, I'll give this to you. Yes or no? Andrew Luck.
Oh, yeah.
Jeremy Maclin.
I'm not sure. I think he's going to come down to a Friday decision, and it could end up being a Sunday decision. And I kind of don't want him to play. I think his return would be bad for Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
Michael Crabtree.
He'll play.
Michael Floyd.
Who cares?
John Brown.
Same thing I said for Michael Floyd. You can't have confidence in either one of those receivers.
I know. All right. Chris Ivory.
I don't think he'll play.
Devontae Parker.
Unfortunately, I don't think he'll play.
The three injured Miami Dolphins offensive linemen.
Mama Bear, Papa Bear, and Baby Bear. I'm going to say Baby Bear is Mike Pouncey, and he won't play. I'm going to say Mama Bear is Laremy Tunsil, and he's got a good chance to play, but he won't be at 100%. And I'll say Papa Bear, Brandon Albert, will also play.
Okay. And Sammy Watkins.
He practiced on Thursday after missing Wednesday's practice. I think Wednesday was a precaution, which is very good.
Jordan Matthews.
I think he'll play.
Yesterday's leftovers, stuff we missed. We talked a little bit about Brandon Marshall at the end of the show, and you guys are comfortable with him against the Colts. How do you feel about Quincy Enunwa? And I think they have a really good matchup next week, too.
San Francisco.
Yeah, so that's great for receivers. How do you feel about Enunwa this week?
I like him.
I think he's a borderline top 30 receiver.
Did I ask you Enunwa or Mitchell?
Mitchell, but it's close.
I believe I pulled Mitchell ahead of Enunwa as well. Yeah.
Enunwa or Willie Snead?
Snead.
All right. So number three receiver there. The Rams and the Patriots. We don't like Todd Gurley. Do you think that Kenny Britt, we don't hate Todd Gurley, but you know.
We like him a lot as a person.
Yeah, nice guy. Kenny Britt or Lance Kendricks could put up some garbage time performances here.
Britt for sure. And Kendricks isn't a bad streaming option if you can't get your hands on Vance McDonald.
Okay. How about Britt or Enunwa?
Britt.
Enunwa.
Britt or Gurley?
Britt.
Gurley.
What about PPR, Jamie?
Gurley.
Even in PPR?
Mm-hmm. I mean, Britt's usually like a 4 or 5 catch guy anyway.
Yeah,
if Gurley has what he has last week, it's going to be about the same.
Britt can score. Britt can get you 100 yards.
All right, I think we've pretty much covered the Patriots. Martellus Bennett, I'm not sure we did much on him. Martellus Bennett or Fedorowicz this week?
Fedorowicz.
And then obviously behind Vance McDonald, too?
Vance McDonald is top 5 for me.
Whoa. Okay.
Great matchup, great consistency over the past few weeks, and I think the Niners are going to need him a little bit.
All right. Philadelphia at Cincinnati. Your thoughts on the Eagles running backs?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of thoughts on them. I try not to even think about them.
I think you're being a little hard on them.
No, dude.
If they're playing with the lead, right now, then Smallwood has an opportunity to play well. If they're chasing points, you're going to see more Sproles. Both guys are better off as flex options in their respective leagues where you expect them to be better.
But it's a great matchup. There's no question about it. But they mix and match and don't use them enough when they're mixing and matching them. So I don't see how you can feel confident going with Smallwood after he's disappointed you really most of the season. And Sproles has done the exact same thing.
Well, it's hard to say Smallwood's disappointed you most of the season when he hasn't got an opportunity.
Well, the first time we thought he had an opportunity, he barely played.
That was really just last week.
And no, for me, it was much earlier in the year.
Well, I mean, when Ryan Matthews has been on the field, it's hard to say that you can say Smallwood's been disappointing because he's still the backup guy.
Okay, fine. So Smallwood has still gotten a lot of work compared to Sproles, certainly, at least carries-wise, the last 3 weeks, and he hasn't been outstanding. He's given you maybe 6 fantasy points.
How do you feel about Jordan Matthews?
Don't really like him this week. I mean, I think he's a number 3 receiver.
Okay.
7-8 fantasy points.
And then as far as the Bengals are concerned, I mean, it's just a stark contrast of the Eagles at home and the Eagles on the road. Stafford, 24 points. Cousins, 20. Prescott, 30 in overtime. Manning, 30. Wilson, 24. Those are the last 5 quarterbacks to face the Eagles in Philadelphia road games. That said, I know you guys have no faith in Andy Dalton, and I get it. But what about the passing game? You know, you're starting Eifert. He's a top tight end this week because tight ends are terrible. But Tyler Boyd, 55% owned. This guy's gotten 9 targets and 8 targets in his last 2 games. The Eagles have really been bad against wide receivers on the road. Am I making a good case for Tyler Boyd? Can you buy it?
I just wish he lined up outside more, because that seems to be where receivers strike gold against Philadelphia. It's on the outside. You saw Davante Adams do it last week. You've seen other receivers do it throughout the season. It's been typically, you know, speedier outside guys that do damage, and Boyd has been used a lot in the slot. So if he stays there, he's going to see a lot of Malcolm Jenkins, and that's not a good matchup. So that means on the outside, you're going to see Brandon LaFell and James Wright. Neither of those guys inspire any confidence.
Okay. Well, if you do need to take a shot on somebody and you are interested in Boyd, he also gets Cleveland next week. So, you know.
Well, A.J. Green could be back then.
That would be great. Starter sit Jeremy Hill. Would you rather have Hill or Gurley this week?
Hill. I really like Hill this week.
You do? Okay. Oh, that's right. He was one of the guys you liked yesterday, right?
Yeah. Most of his damage has come at home. All but 2 of his touchdowns at home. 2 of his games with over 90 rush yards have been at home. Philadelphia's allowed a touchdown to a running back in each of their last 2. I think there's a really good opportunity for Jeremy Hill to come through. I think he can score, and I think he can get you a minimum of 60 yards on top of it. So I feel pretty good about him as a top 15 running back this week.
And yeah, in Philadelphia road games, you're seeing guys like Theo Riddick in standard scoring leagues, 19 fantasy points. Matt Jones, 19. Ezekiel Elliott, 14. CJ Procise, 13, and in the same game, Thomas Rawls, 8. So, yeah, they're just not good on the road. I think the Bengals are going to win, by the way.
On top of that, Adam, we saw Jeremy Hill have a career high in targets and catches last week.
Right.
And I wonder if – I don't think he'll necessarily get as many this week. He might get half as many. So 3 catches, that could pad his stats another 15 to 20 yards, something like that.
Would you – this is probably going to be a big, fat no, but I want to talk about this guy because I'm – I don't know if nervous, but I just think it's interesting. The matchup's interesting. Would you consider starting Jeremy Hill over Devontae Freeman?
No, I would not.
All right, the Chiefs have been very good against running backs lately, no?
I think they allow a lot of yards, just not a lot of touchdowns.
Well, okay, Devontae Freeman has not scored double-digit fantasy points in any game, in standard, in any game this year that he hasn't scored a touchdown. So he's, you know, kind of needs touchdowns. And Kansas City allows the 4th most rushing yards per game, only 4 rushing touchdowns. Here are the last 3 running backs to face the Chiefs. Jonathan Stewart, 3 fantasy points on 13 touches. Doug Martin, 10 fantasy points in standard, 13 in PPR on 27 touches. And Devontae Booker, 9 in standard, 10 fantasy points in PPR on 25 touches. So you know Freeman's not going to get 20 or more touches. It seems unlikely.
Those 3 teams you mentioned... offensive line issues for all 3 of them. Not strong passing games at this point for all 3 of them. And Kansas City's they were home for only the Tampa Bay game. But I can't get away from Devontae Freeman right now.
Okay. That's an interesting game. We'll get to that. Dave and I were talking off the air. Dave I hear it in his voice. I think he's going to get himself an Indochino suit. Am I right?
Do they make them in circus tent sizes?
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Indochino, Dave. You could get it. INDOCHINO.com. 50% off. The offer's running out, guys. So this is the time. Holiday season. They have great menswear during holiday season. But the suit, 50% off with our offer code FFT at checkout. FFT. Type that in at checkout on Indochino.com. Customize the suit. Every single detail of it. $389 for this suit that you're going to have for the rest of your life. It's going to be the best suit you own. They go for $800. Now you can get it for $389. Shipping is free. Just go to Indochino.com, design your suit, submit your measurements, and use our offer code FFT at checkout. I've got my Indochino suit. Dave's going to get his. I think we can convince Jamie to get his. The second you need to go to a nice event, you're going to want this type of thing. I absolutely
your rehearsal
love
dinner.
It. My wedding? My rehearsal dinner?
Yeah.
You're not going to it, but you know what? You should get
it. You're
going
to welch on the bet?
No, you can wear it at the wedding.
No, I'm going to wear it to your rehearsal dinner.
You're not coming to the rehearsal dinner.
We're coming to the rehearsal
dinner. So you're welching on the bet. Just
I'm not welching on the bet. I told you from the start.
No.
You can make the speech at the hotel at the after party.
Nope, that's welching.
Here's the deal. If you don't let us know where this rehearsal dinner is, we're just going to make the speech at the wedding.
I'll just ask plenty of people that I know that'll be at the wedding. See, Adam has made the mistake of when we did the event in New York, he's introduced me to some people. I met his fiance now. We're friends on Facebook. I have plenty of ways to find out where this will be.
I have no doubt about that, but you're not coming. And
you do realize, by the way, it's only a 2-point difference. You can still win. You're winning right now.
Oh, it was Bortles versus Rivers?
Yep.
Yeah, I think you're gonna win though. Okay.
Just imagine like the music stops at the wedding and all of a sudden the band leader says, "And now a speech from the Groom's Fantasy Football Podcast co-host."
I'll just tell you this much. The one that I'll give at the rehearsal dinner will be very tame. If it's somewhere else, it's going to be brutal.
I was just thinking,
and I will get Jamie drunk.
How funny it would be if like my brother gave his best man speech, or Allie's dad gave like his speech, and then Jamie comes up and gives a speech about Philip Rivers and Blake Bortles. Like, how ridiculous would that be?
Oh no, I'll roast you.
Yeah, it's gonna be worse at the wedding than it will be at the rehearsal dinner.
All right, so you're not coming, but let's play Beat the Waiver Wire real quick, and then we'll last half of the show will be start or sit for these NFC home games. Anybody for next week? I put some suggestions in the notes. Anybody for next week that you want to pick up now and make sure you have before the rush?
Did you just say Blake Bortles is a top 12 quarterback?
For the season.
Are you kidding?
Nope.
Wow. Fantasy football is weird. Mm-hmm. It's a weird year.
So, to answer my question, anybody you want to pick up? Bengals DST, and any Bengal that you want to start against the Browns. But
We talked about a lot of DSTs, and if your ticket is punched for next week and potentially even week 15, I've got a friend in Chicago who has nothing to play for this week, has a bye next week, so he dropped the Vikings defense last night to go get the Bills defense to use them against the Browns in week 15.
That's a mistake.
Maybe, but he doesn't care if he loses now, and he realizes
he's at the Jaguars next week.
He doesn't play next week. He's got the bye clinched. It's a rare case, but everybody's got some unique cases, and if you've got your situation laid out for you, yeah, if you're playing next week and you need the Bengals defense, get them now.
Yeah.
If you're not playing next week and it's 2 weeks later, go get the Bills DST now.
What about Abdullah, Peterson, and Sims?
Sounds like a heck of a law firm. injured in a sports accident? Come to the firm of Abdullah, Peterson, and Sims.
Yeah, you can also start to put Shane Vereen in that conversation with PPR owners.
Okay, I'm glad you said it, not me. It wouldn't have had much of an effect if I said that.
No, look, he had some good moments before he got hurt. Yeah. Obviously, Rashad Jennings is who he is. It doesn't look like you're going to all of a sudden see Paul Perkins just turn things on. I'd love to see it, but it's hard to expect that. So, you know, I would imagine he goes back into being the third down guy.
Okay. And Will Fuller's at Indianapolis. Quincy Enunwa's at San Francisco. Dontrell Inman, you know, if the shoulder injury is serious, he's at Carolina next week. Just names.
Not to gloss over the whole Abdullah Peterson-Sims thing. Jamie was very passionate earlier this week about getting Adrian Peterson stashed on rosters. Again, for fantasy owners who have the space and believe they'll play into weeks 15 or 16, it's on the premise of just having the chance of having Adrian Peterson as an option for your fantasy team.
Right. Right.
He gets the Colts and the Packers in back-to-back games.
In theory, it sounds good. I just don't know if he's going to perform.
No, but they ran the ball much better than we've seen in recent weeks. Last night, I mean, it wasn't great, but it was better. I mean, McKinnon had some holes. He looked okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He obviously caught the touchdown.
Yep. Well, what an exciting finish that was. Stupid, stupid false start, and then the missed call. Very frustrating stuff there for if you're a Vikings fan. If you're me and you're a Vikings fan. All right. My FanDuel lineup this week, Kaepernick, Hyde, Riddick, Julio, Devontae Adams, Mike Evans, you like them receivers? Jimmy Graham. I think I'm going to change Nick Novak to someone better. And the Packers DST. Point that I'd like to make is Jamie mentioned it earlier in the week. How many times has Julio Jones had two bad games in a row? It hasn't happened. Every time he's had a bad game, he's had a monster game. And so has Matt Ryan, for that matter, afterwards. So I don't know if you guys want to share any daily lineups, but mine is Kaepernick, Hyde, Riddick, Julio, Devontae Adams, Mike Evans, Jimmy Graham, some kicker, and Packers.
I always hate it when I've got a lineup similar to either yours or Jamie's. But here I am with a lineup with lots of 49ers in it and Julio Jones and Mike Evans. I've got Kaepernick, Hyde, and Vance McDonald. LeSean McCoy is my other running back. Julio, Mike Evans, Malcolm Mitchell. I'm going to take a shot on him as my third receiver. Caleb Sturgis as my kicker. And the Ravens defense is, I think, going to be very good.
I went Kaepernick and Hyde also. But David Johnson, Antonio Brown, Golden Tate, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, McManus, and the Patriots. I always forget about that you get the rewards for the special teams returns. And so if Hill does take another one back, that makes him even that much more special. So
yeah. You know, the Chiefs DST and the Packers DST are about the same price. And like the Chiefs DST, I feel like I have to go with the Chiefs. Even though they're going to give up points, I mean, they still get so many fantasy points. Who do you have ranked higher?
Justin Houston was just a monster last week.
I know. It's amazing. Who do you have ranked higher this week, Packers or Chiefs?
Packers.
Packers this week.
Packers? All right. Okay. It's time for the Start-O-Meter. We've done Punch-Out theme. We did Thanksgiving theme. This week it's movie themed. So I want you to put these guys on the Start-O-Meter based on Die Hard movies, since everybody keeps telling me Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Whatever.
Is it not?
It's not. So
it is.
Oh my God.
But I will concede. You know I like Die Hard 3 better than Die Hard 1, but for the sake of this exercise, the meter goes from the absolute worst movie of all time, Die Hard 5, not the worst Die Hard, but worst movie of all time, Die Hard 5, to classic action movie, Die Hard 1, and it's, for me, the order is Die Hard 5, 2, 4, 3, 1, but we can explain that. So, on the Die Hard scale, I ask people who they're nervous about. Randy is nervous about Brandon Cooks. Which Die Hard is Brandon Cooks this week?
The original.
Stud?
I think he's complaining about his role. They're going to feed him the ball. I don't think the Lions are going to come into the game and double team him the same way the Rams did. That's clearly a recipe for disaster. And Brandon Cooks will have his moments.
So what we're going to do is, when we talk about Die Hard 1, we're going to make Christmas references because it's a Christmas movie.
Absolutely.
So Brandon Cooks would be Santa Claus.
I would say he's more of Powell. Al Powell.
No, he's Santa Claus.
Well, I mean, he's gonna save the day at the end for your fantasy team. He's not necessarily gonna be the strongest person on your fantasy team, but he's gonna be a very key player.
Well, what about Michael Thomas? If Cooks is Die Hard 1, what's Michael Thomas?
He's the same. I think they're both gonna have a chance to have a big game.
All right.
Thomas is Rudolph. He's gonna lead the way.
And what about Willie Sneed?
Sneed is like one of the Rangers. One of the other Rangers. Prancer.
I feel like
Sneed is going to be the L.A. cop who was the principal in Breakfast Club.
All right, but we need it to, like, Sneed, I think, is Die Hard 4, which is right in the middle. It's not as good as Die Hard 1 and 3, but it's much better than 5 and 2.
I can't believe you like Die Hard 3.
I love Die Hard 3.
I like Die Hard 2. Listen, Die Hard 2 and Die Hard 3 are both ridiculous, but Die Hard 2 was better than Die Hard 3.
No. Sneed is top 24 for you guys or no?
No.
No.
Just outside?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can start him, but you don't have to. Jesse nominates Randall Cobb against Houston on the Die Hard Start-O-Meter.
Because he's been bad lately.
He is... Die Hard 2 is also a Christmas movie, so he is the Grinch.
No, all right, that's bad.
I'm going to say he's Die Hard 3. So kind of average, someone that I'm not looking forward to starting.
You have to respect my scale. Because what you just said.
I disavow your scale.
But we have to be consistent here, because what you just said really is Die Hard 4 on the scale. Because Die Hard 3 is the second best Die Hard.
We're arguing about your scale.
Well, Randall Cobb. All right, fine. So I'm going to make sure it's not confusing for everybody. We'll have a little fun, but I will make sure it's clear. Randall Cobb. Now you know how we feel about Willie Sneed. Would you guys rather have Randall Cobb or Willie Sneed this week?
Sneed.
Sneed.
Sneed? Okay. Let's see. The Mexican maestro, Sammy Watkins over Randall Cobb. Agree or disagree?
Agree. Die Hard 1.
Yep.
Die Hard 1? No, he can't be Die Hard 1.
Sammy?
Sammy Watkins is one of the elves.
Whatever.
I love sitting here watching Jamie, like the wheels turn in Jamie's head, and then when he recognizes what he's going to say, his eyes get real big.
Eric Belair, Marvin Jones. Where's Marvin Jones on the Die Hard scale?
I don't think he's too far off from Randall Cobb, to be honest with you.
Can't trust Marvin Jones. He's the third best Lions receiver at best and fifth best target at best.
I kind of like the matchup for him. He made my top 36 this week.
So he's diehard too.
He might also get 8 fantasy points, but it might be his best game in like a month and a half.
So Marvin Jones is diehard too because he sucks and Dave's the only person who likes him.
Who would you take over him, Jamie?
Bolden and Golden Tate by far.
I'm with you on Tate, not Bolden.
All right. Ryan Bodman, Spencer Ware at Atlanta. Spencer Ware.
Well, he's in one of the two Christmas movies. So he is a
wheels turning.
He's Santa's wife.
This makes no sense. This makes no sense.
No, you know what he is? He's eggnog. He's eggnog.
He's very well. Then that's not good. He's very interesting.
He's Holly. He's Holly Gennaro.
Is he good or bad this week? You guys are killing this.
He's good. Top 15 running back.
How is he good? I mean, he's been pretty bad.
His last best game of the year.
This is my new favorite game. We do this every week.
Oh, you're butchering it. Atlanta does allow the third most fantasy points to running backs, but that is because they've been so bad against running backs in the passing game, and Spencer Ware catches 2 balls a game.
That's true. But Ryan Matthews didn't catch a ton of passes. He had 2 touchdowns and 100 yards 2 games ago against the Falcons.
You're not benching Spencer Ware at this point.
I'd like to bench Spencer Ware. I have Ware and Rawls. Who would you go with there? PPR.
Ware.
Wow. I don't know if I want to trust you guys, but okay. Okay.
Well, and we should trust you. Look at your logic with Die Hard movies.
Ware or Ajayi?
Ware.
Mark wants to know, Cam, how about this? We have Cam at Seattle, Olsen at Seattle. We'll stop there. First, Cam.
Cam is diehard 5.
He's what?
Cam is diehard 5.
He's Hans Gruber.
He's not a good villain.
He's going to be a villain for your fantasy team, and you're going to wish you dropped him off of Nakatomi Tower instead of started him.
Nick,
he had one of his best games of the year last week and got you 23 fantasy points.
Nick wants to know about Greg Olsen. Seattle has been pretty bad against tight ends lately. They've had in two of the last 2 games, they had a touchdown called back for a tight end both times.
Mm-hmm. So they got lucky, is what you're saying.
They got lucky to not give up more production.
Yeah, I think their whole defense is going to be so much better with Michael Bennett and Earl Thomas back, especially Bennett. They were not the same, not quite the same.
Okay.
Without him. And now that he's back and Carolina's offensive line is bad, I think it's going to be hard for... I'm going to say the same thing I said last week. I think it's going to be hard for Cam Newton to complete passes, and I think it's going to be hard for Greg Olsen to make plays.
Would you guys go Olsen or McDonald?
No, I've cooled off on Stewart.
Olsen or McDonald?
I moved to McDonald ahead of Olsen.
Jamie?
Why are you starting Greg Olsen? Because it's Greg Olsen. Yeah. Name another reason why you're starting Greg Olsen.
Because the only way I feel like Cam has success is if he gets, and I don't think he's going to have that much success, but I think the matchup for him is Olsen.
You realize Seattle's only allowed 2 touchdowns to tight ends all
But year. They've allowed 3 in their last 2 games. 2 of them were called back, and they allowed 100 yards to Bennett the week before, and they've played garbage tight ends for most of the year.
How many fantasy points does Greg Olsen get for a called back touchdown?
Well, I'm just saying, like these tight ends found the end zone. They have good corners. This might be their vulnerability.
I just did a very fun FanDuel lineup.
I would love to hear it, but we are at 45 minutes already. So,
well, maybe if someone didn't come up with crazy diehard scales.
We're still talking about guys.
I got Tyrod Taylor, Jordan Howard, Kenneth Dixon, Julio, Mike Evans, and Antonio Brown.
Wow, loaded at receiver. I guess that's what you get for going cheap at quarterback and putting Kenneth Dixon in your lineup.
Vance McDonald, McManus, and the Packers.
McManus was good. I tried to get him as my kicker in my other lineup, but I ran out of cash.
I think Tim Hightower is a good one. Maybe even if Ingram does play, but he's pretty cheap in FanDuel. Okay, anyway, back to the game here. Thomas Rawls.
I'm trying to warm up to him. There are a lot of reasons
like him a
to
lot
warm
without
up to
Kuechly
him.
In there. They're going to be at home. They're going to be winning. He's going to get a lot of work.
I have him in my top 20. I'm not ready to move him past Ajayi, Lamar Miller, James Starks.
I like him better than all 3 of those guys by far.
Haven't seen it from him. Just haven't seen it yet.
It's true.
Or if something's up.
Yeah, he hasn't been healthy. Rob Kelly at Arizona.
Die Hard 5.
Don't love him, but I bet he scores.
I'm not so sure he scores. He's going to have to score to get you a chance at 10 fantasy points.
Sure, but I'm thinking he scores.
I think only 1, maybe 2 running backs have scored touchdowns at Arizona. They have been
right,
dominant.
Only 1, and it was LeGarrette.
Yeah, at home against running backs. Lamar Miller.
He's okay. He's so diehard too.
Diehard 4. He's diehard 4.
No. He's better than diehard 4.
You think diehard 2 is better than diehard 4?
Yes.
Dude, you are insane. Diehard 2 is dreadful.
Come on, the guy who thinks that like puzzles and riddles are what makes diehard movies good.
They're in an airport. It's Christmas.
I met a man with 7 wives, and he had something else. And how many wives did he have?
How many people were going to St. Ives is the question, and the answer is 1. It's the man. And if you want to know how to do the water jug trick, I can tell you how to fill it with 4 gallons 2 different ways. So
I just think you've watched Die Hard 3 too much.
That's probably true. All right, so we just got a bunch of running backs, and now I want you to rank them. Spencer Ware, Thomas Rawls, Rob Kelly, Lamar Miller.
Ware, Miller, Rawls, Kelly.
Ware, Rawls, Miller, Kelly.
All right, let's try to go like 2 minutes on each game. Here we go, because we've covered a lot. Detroit at New Orleans. We talked about Matthew Stafford. Drew Brees is the number one quarterback. I will give you, though, this. Stafford or Kaepernick?
Kaepernick.
Kaepernick, but it's close.
It's not really close.
It's very close.
It's like Die Hard 4 close.
It's like 1 and 3.
Are you starting Theo Riddick in standard scoring leagues? And I will tell you that Riddick is the number 21 running back in standard on weekly scoring and number 7 in PPR. So he's a lock in PPR. Are you starting Riddick in standard?
I like him better than any other running back that you just don't have a lot of confidence in. So Jonathan Stewart, Todd Gurley, you're unsure what you're going to get out of Deion Lewis or the Ravens running backs. Throw Riddick in there ahead of them.
All right.
Number 2.
Sorry, is Golden Tate a must start?
Yes.
PPR, yes. Standard, I'm not convinced of it.
Love, love, love the matchup for him. Love the history here. I think he's going to go off again.
Would you start Tyler Boyd or Marvin Jones?
Jones.
Boyd.
Oh. Would you start Tyler Boyd or Anquan Boldin?
Probably Boldin.
Boldin.
All right.
You might be able to talk me into Boyd in a PPR.
Eric Ebron is a top 7 tight end for everybody, top 5 for Jamie. No catches last week, but the Saints, as their defense has gotten better, they've still given up some points to tight ends. New Orleans running backs, obviously Ingram's a go. If Ingram plays, it's a must start, right?
Yep, yeah. And if he's out, then Hightower's a must start. I think Hightower's number 2 running back regardless. I start him over Gurley.
Wow. Okay, we talked about the New Orleans wide receivers. We love Thomas, and we love Cooks, and Snead is an okay number 3 option. Starter sit Kobe Fleener. I mean, Detroit allows the 2nd most fantasy points to tight ends.
No one wants to use Kobe Fleener.
If there's ever a week to trust him, this is it.
All right, you're totally desperate. So you'd go with Fleener over Will Tye?
Yes.
Over Hunter Henry?
No.
Very close for me. PPR, I'd go with Fleener.
Okay. Yeah, Henry with his 2 catches per game. Carolina is at Seattle. I wish I had been on the show on Wednesday when you read the question, why are you guys so low on Russell Wilson? I don't really get it. I think it's an overreaction to last week, because I'll tell you, like, Buffalo has the 2nd most sacks in the NFL and good defensive line, and he torched Buffalo. He had 3 awesome games in a row before struggling last week. So Wilson in the rankings is like 13th, 11th, and 10th. Seems a little low to me.
I like him. I just don't think he's going to be a 25-plus point guy. I think they're going to be able to run on Carolina.
Why do you think that? Because even last week, Latavius Murray had like 2 yards per carry or something.
I just think they're going to be up at home. I think he's going to throw early, and they're going to be up at home, and they're going to have the chance to kill the clock late in the game.
So this could be a blowout, right?
Should be.
I think so. But it could be like a 24-10 blowout.
All right, so Wilson, borderline top 12.
Yeah, and it is worth noting, he's played him 3 times in the last calendar year, Carolina, and in all 3 games he's had at least 20 fantasy points, and 2 of them he had 3 touchdowns. So kind of a good track record there for Russell Wilson. I'm still nervous about him having time to throw.
Does it interest you at all that Jonathan Stewart scored 4 touchdowns in 2 games against Seattle last year? Okay.
So it was fun that he did it. I'm just not sure he can even get 1 this year or this week.
So we want to sit him. Kelvin Benjamin, start or sit?
Sit.
Sit. If you don't like Cam, you can't start Kelvin.
Who are some quarterbacks you would start over Cam other than Kaepernick?
Stafford, for me. Fitzpatrick.
Jameis.
I would have gone Dak last night over Cam. I know Dak didn't have a good game. Carson Palmer. Tyrod. Tyrod Taylor is a good one. Jameis is a good one.
Cousins?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Who else? Doug Baldwin, top eight. You guys are confident in him?
Yes.
All right. Not a good track record here, but I think this still should have an opportunity to play well.
Slots have played well against Carolina lately.
I'm going to give you some wide receivers. You tell me if you would start them or Thomas Rawls. Kenny Britt or Thomas Rawls?
Rawls.
I'll go Britt.
Jamison Crowder or Thomas Rawls?
Crowder.
Crowder.
You cool with Crowder this week?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the one guy that I really like the most for Washington.
Me too.
Standard scoring, Larry Fitzgerald or Rawls?
Rawls.
Rawls.
All right, our next game is Washington at Arizona. Fantasy point projection for Kirk Cousins.
24.
21.
All right, so fine to start him. Just don't expect a huge game.
Yep.
All right. Talking about Fat Rob, Rob Kelly, would you start Kenneth Dixon or Rob Kelly?
I would start...
I think Dixon is a little bit safer.
Kelly. Dixon, PPR.
Okay, Dixon PPR. Would you start Wendell Smallwood or Rob Kelly?
I've got Smallwood one spot ahead of Kelly.
Kelly.
I don't know how much I really like it. So maybe Kelly's the right answer, but I don't think either one of them is going to be great.
But any running back that's going to get, like, Kelly's probably going to get, you know, a lot of carries, but tough matchup. So
that might be enough to start Kelly over Smallwood.
Right, but the Devontae Bookers, Thomas Rawls, Spencer Wares, the guys who haven't been that good but don't have as bad of a matchup, you have to start over Kelly, right?
Yes.
Yep. All right.
This is a bad matchup for Kelly.
Kelly's a low end number two.
Who do you like for Arizona other than... Oh, actually, let's go to the Washington wide receivers. Tell me how you see that working out.
Well, if they can't run the ball, I think Cousins is going to have to throw a lot.
Crowder's the only safe one.
And not having Jordan Reed there is going to open up the other receivers, especially Crowder. So I agree that Crowder is the best one. I think DeSean Jackson could cause some trouble.
Depends if Peterson's playing or not. If Peterson's out, then...
But is Peterson at 100%? And can he
keep wasn't
up
at 100% yesterday,
Jackson?
And he did a good job. Last week, he did a good job against Julio Jones. Yeah, it's a threat of Peterson.
Look, their secondary is very good. And the two touchdowns that Matt Ryan threw were as fluky as you can get. They were screen passes to Taylor Gabriel, who had some good blocks, and he weaved his way to the end zone twice. It was basically the same play. I think you've got to give Arizona better credit than what happened in that game. And so there is a little bit of concern that DeSean Jackson is going to have to make one of those special plays where just his speed takes over.
Okay.
But I think he can have that shot.
Rank these receivers. Jamison Crowder, Michael Crabtree, Dante Moncrief.
Moncrief, Crabtree, Crowder.
I've got Crowder, Moncrief, Crabtree, but all three are in my top 20.
Are all three ahead of Sammy Watkins?
Yes.
No.
Who do you have Watkins ahead of, Dave?
All of them.
Wow, you were big on Watkins this week.
Yes.
Aren't you just worried that playing a guy who's kind of hurt?
If he practices on Thursday and Friday and there's no incident, I'm feeling fine about it.
Okay.
Look, he had 80 yards last week.
He did. Who do you like for Arizona other than David Johnson?
No one.
I'll give you a big sleeper, and it's Jermaine Gresham. And it's the most disgusting sleeper maybe I've ever unearthed.
He's played well.
They need him. They don't have anything else going. They've got Larry Fitzgerald 5 yards off the line of scrimmage. Michael Floyd stinks. John Brown's unable to play. J.J. Nelson stinks. They need something. They've gone to Gresham.
So
Gresham Fitzgerald isn't in my top 12 at tight end, but he's close. I think he's a streaming option.
Fitzgerald in PPR? Still cool with him?
He's fine in PPR.
All right. Also, just again, I want to remind everybody, if you want to watch NFL on CBS games online, CBS All Access, go to cbssports.com/NFL. You can try it for free for 1 week. You'll be able to stream live local market games on your computer, tablet, or connected device. cbssports.com/NFL. Watch free football for a week. That's pretty awesome. I'm 1,000,000% going to take advantage of that. Kansas City is at Atlanta. We don't like Alex Smith. We, of course, do like Matt Ryan. I do think it's interesting that, you know, those three bad games for Julio, Matt Ryan has been a monster in those next three games along with Julio Jones, but he had a 5-touchdown game in there. He had a 4-touchdown game. So, Matt Ryan or Colin Kaepernick?
I'm going Kaepernick.
Wow. Really?
I am.
Give me your thoughts on Taylor Gabriel.
If you don't have anybody good to start as your flex or number three receiver, and you just want to take a chance on a guy who can certainly break up one play for a big fantasy score, you start him. But it's a major, you know, spin of the Wheel of Fortune wheel. You might land on bank. Then there's way more bankrupts on this Wheel of Fortune wheel than there are trips to Hawaii.
Give me your thoughts on Tevin Coleman.
A worse version of Taylor Gabriel. Like, his wheel is all bankrupts, lose a turn, and 6 points for a touchdown.
They the report out of Atlanta is that he's starting to get back to 100% last week. You know, got the shake the rust off game. And hopefully they give him more work. But he's really just a flex option at this point. You can't trust him as a starter.
Rob Kelly or Tevin Coleman?
I guess Kelly.
Kelly.
All right. Any Atlanta wide receivers? Oh, I asked you about Taylor Gabriel. Sanu, no. Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill in the rankings if Macklin's out. Tyreek Hill in the rankings if Macklin's in.
Number two receiver if Macklin's out. Number three receiver if Macklin's in.
Low-end number three receiver if Macklin's in.
Low-end. So Snead or Hill if Macklin plays?
If Macklin plays, Snead.
Yeah.
And Hill if Macklin doesn't?
Yeah. And Malcolm Mitchell would jump ahead of Tyreek Hill.
Okay. All right.
Golden Tate would too.
Let's go to San Francisco at Chicago. We just need Jordan Howard to score. I mean, he has been so good carrying the football. But, you know, the fantasy points have been a little bit low because he hasn't scored in three straight games. But I think it's like over 4.5 yards per carry or something in four straight games. It's just been great. So we love the running backs in this game. Marquise Wilson, how does it, I've brought it up a lot. San Francisco has given up 20 touchdowns to wide receivers. They've been brutal. 16% own Marquise Wilson. Where is he this week, guys?
I've got him as a low end number three receiver. I don't like that all of his production basically came in the fourth quarter. I do like that he's the Bears' best receiver. He's a pretty good route runner. He's got quick feet. He can get open. Pretty good catch radius. Dropped some passes last week, though, and his quarterback is not going to be consistent at all. So, good receiver, great matchup, iffy quarterback. There's obvious risk involved. Probably better for daily tournaments than anything else.
The one thing you got to be concerned about is, and I know injury played a part last week, but, you know, Devontae Parker should have had the big game for the Dolphins, and still Kenny still scores a touchdown. The Bears receivers, I don't think there's like a big separation between all these guys. Like, I agree with what Dave said. Wilson should be the best of the group. But we've seen Meredith make plays this year. Eddie Royals had the opportunity to make plays this year. I know he's not practicing, but if he plays. And you saw Deontay Thompson still have the targets as well. So there's still a chance it could be somebody else besides just Wilson.
But that's my point. Even Carew scored last week for the Dolphins. If Parker's touchdown hadn't been overturned, that would have been two straight games where three wide receivers caught a touchdown against
there's a big opportunity. I just think that the Bears' MO was going to try and be run, stay with the lead, not have to throw the ball.
Not trust Matt Barkley.
Right. There's still going to be opportunities for him to throw. It's not like he's going to throw the ball 10 times. He's going to throw the ball 20 to 25 times at least. Mm-hmm. And that still should lead to, you know, chances for one of these receivers to make plays.
There were a lot of times where Barkley was looking at Wilson on third downs. In the fourth quarter, there were back-to-back plays where they picked up a total of 40 yards. So I think Wilson is Barkley's number one guy. So I feel a little bit better about him being the number, saying that he's the number one for the Bears receivers, versus saying there's just, you know, all these average receivers. You don't know who it's going to be. If I had to pick one, I think it's Wilson, and I don't think it's going to be particularly close.
I agree with that.
Okay, guys, so let's finish this game with this. We like Vance McDonald. We've talked enough about him. There are San Francisco wide receivers, Matt Barkley, to Chicago's tight end. I don't know. Are there any sleepers in this game?
Like, I almost feel like Wilson would be that sleeper.
Yeah, other than
if you want somebody deeper than that, it could be Barkley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be. Only three quarterbacks have scored less than 20 fantasy points against San Francisco, but you probably don't have to do that. All right, Houston at Green Bay, last game
could
here.
Could be daily.
Yeah, could be. James Starks. We love Nelson and Adams, right?
Yep. Love Adams this week.
Okay, James Starks is averaging 2.5 yards per carry. And DeAndre Hopkins has been totally horrible this year. Do you have faith in either Starks or Hopkins?
I have more faith in Starks than Hopkins because I think Starks has a chance of getting 20 touches again like he did last week.
I don't know if that's going to happen with what they're talking about.
What about getting Michael and Montgomery more work?
Yeah. I mean, Starks has been bad. And so
I don't think they're closing out a game with Montgomery or Michael on the field.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if they do at all. If they're up big, why wouldn't they?
If they're up like 45-3, sure. But if it's 28-20 and it's the fourth quarter, I think they'll trust Starks.
I don't think they're getting away from Starks, but I don't think we're going to see 20-plus touches for Starks this week. I think
if we saw it last week, I think we could see it this week.
And he was bad.
He was bad, but I still want a running back that's going to get that kind of opportunity.
But I don't know if he's going to get that kind of opportunity.
And I think Houston's run defense isn't as good on the road as it is at home.
Yeah, I think you're starting Starks, but I don't think it's a slam dunk play. It's just one of those situations where they need some spark in their backfield, and whether that's going back to Montgomery a little bit more in the passing game.
Why wouldn't they?
Try to see if
Michael played so well. Why wouldn't they?
What?
Montgomery, I just don't get it. Like, that seems like a guy that you should speculate on because Starks has been horrible, and I don't know why. Montgomery actually looked like a good running back. He played really well. He didn't deserve to lose all that time immediately.
Well, that's why you're seeing McCarthy say that, because he's watched enough of James Starks for the last 2 weeks to say he's just not great.
Yeah.
He's never been great.
No, he's better in the passing game. They like him as a screen pass guy.
They like Montgomery in that role, too, or at least they did.
Okay, so Hopkins, are you buying the notion that Houston's going to be trailing, throwing, Hopkins falls into good production?
There's a chance for him. I mean, it's probably better to view him as a number three guy than a must-start receiver. But look, 5 for 70 last week, almost had the touchdown the week before. Should have had a touchdown the week before, with the bad call. So he's still right there. It's like Heath was saying, which, played itself out correctly, that Kelvin Benjamin was right there each week and, finally scored a touchdown last week. Eventually he's going to find the end zone. He's too good of a player not to. Chasing points, it's a good scenario for him to potentially play well this week.
In the Packers' last four, they've allowed 6 touchdowns to receivers. 5 have been non-number one types. So I wonder if they're going to try and just take away DeAndre Hopkins and take their chances with Will Fuller and Fedorowicz and Braxton Miller and Brock Osweiler.
Okay. Wrapping it
up. But last week's game, Matthews got hurt, so it's hard to say that he wouldn't have played well.
Packers DST, 7th for Jamie, 4th for Dave, 12th for Heath. So definitely a streaming option. And rapid fire emails to finish the show. This is from Man Deep. Sammy Watkins or Dante Moncrief?
Watkins.
Moncrief.
Sammy Watkins or Tyreek Hill?
Watkins.
Watkins.
Taylor in Canada needs one running back. Deion Lewis, Devontae Booker, Jonathan Stewart.
Booker.
Booker.
Ebron or Fedorowicz?
Ebron.
Yep.
Okay, Scott from a town near the Arch. We're not going to guess right now. RB2 and a flex and a standard. Jonathan Stewart or Tevin Coleman?
Coleman.
Coleman.
Stewart.
Coleman, Stewart. All right, and the flex could be the other running back, Martellus Bennett, DeSean Jackson, Dontrell Inman, or Anquan Boldin.
DeSean Jackson.
Inman if Williams is out. Otherwise, Jackson.
Okay, and from Danny, Lamar Miller. Should I bench Lamar Miller or Spencer Ware for Zach Ertz?
Nah.
No.
Finally, Fisher. Hey, Mikey, Mouth and Data. Those are the Goonies. PPR League. That's a Nintendo game that's not on the system. Rawls or Booker? And Adams or Cooks? Devontae Adams or Cooks?
Cooks and Booker.
I will go Cooks and Booker.
Man, you guys have Cooks over Devontae Adams, huh? They must both be very high, right?
They are.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, guys. Good show today. Thank you for not knowing anything about the quality of Die Hard movies. And go ahead, fill a 5-gallon jug with 4 gallons of water. See if you can do it. Pick the thing. For Dave and Jamie, I'm Adam. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Saturday. Eye on Fantasy Football.
Bye.